there. My name is Martha.
And I'm Colby. And this is the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
The show where we talk about what you need to know to live your best millennial life.
Listen in each week as we talk about everything from our favorite pizza to how to drop your toxic friends.
We ask each other the questions, and somewhere between us, there's an answer.
Because there's shit you need to know.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
A podcast where we talk about things you need to know and some things you didn't. The question of the week is fairly simple. It is October, so for some of you that means it's just another month. And for others it means it's Halloween time and spooky time. So the question is, do you like scary movies? Colby, what do you say?
I have found that my tolerance for scary movies has gone up. I guess, like, I can watch more scary stuff now than I could when I was a kid, which I guess is everybody.
I don't know. I actually disagree because I still don't like scary things. And let me tell you how that started. It started when I think I was in seventh grade and my neighbor friends, we watched I Am Legend, and that's the movie with Will Smith, and there's a bunch of weird zombies, and the dog dies, spoiler alert. And for some reason, that scarred me for life. And I'm not joking you. I had nightmares for probably 2 months after that, and me and my brother even had to sleep in the same bed for a while because we were so scared of that movie. And I don't even think he likes scary movies, actually. I should ask, but yeah. I hated it, and I tried watching Zombieland, which isn't even scary, but the fact that it had zombies in it made me really uncomfortable. So I don't know if it's any movie or just zombie scary movies, but I can't. I just cannot do it. I don't even like Halloween that much, if I'm being honest.
No, me neither, but like, when I was a kid, it took me so long to read Harry Potter. Like, I didn't read Harry Potter until last year.
Oh, wow.
Because when I was a kid, I saw Sorcerer's Stone first, and Voldemort's head coming out of the back of Quirrell's head was so terrifying to me. I was like, I am not doing anything related to this ever. Yeah.
No, that's really scary. I totally agree. I don't like that. You can find me on Instagram at RealMarthaRiley or SYNTKPod to answer the poll.
And you can find me on Twitter at Colby Complains.
Welcome to Growing Up Month on our podcast, or I should say, welcome back. Last week, we talked with an adult to answer our burning questions about adulthood and growing up. And I hope you guys liked it. I think that conversation, after we recorded it, it sat with me for a couple days because it felt unnecessarily deep, or maybe I just wasn't prepared for it to go that deep, and it sort of hit me in a weird way. I don't know. Colby, what did you think about last week's episode?
No, I really enjoyed recording last week's episode, and we talked to Steven for like another 30 minutes, hour after we finished the podcast. It was a very long conversation, but it was an important one. I'm glad we're having it.
I think so too. This week, we are talking about millennial burnout, and I picked this topic this week because I read this BuzzFeed article, and it actually came out in January 2019, but basically the author described something that she called millennial burnout, and it's the ability where you feel like you can't do the basic tasks. Like, you go to your job, but it takes you forever to answer an email just because everything in you screams, I don't want to answer that email. And I read that and I was just like, oh, fuck. Like, this has been me in my life for a while now. And it caused me to really examine why I felt burned out. And I think we'll get into it a little bit more later, and I'll get into some of the other stories. But Colby, have you ever experienced burnout? Or
I mean, what you just described, I call my ADHD, but I have been burnt out before, and it's a crummy feeling. It happened to me a lot in college, and I guess we can talk about that, but yeah, I've been there before, and it is not fun for me or the people around me.
And I guess it's important to mention that we aren't medical professionals or anything, so It totally could be ADHD. We don't know. But I think the author goes, and we can link the article in the show notes, but the author goes on to share that it's sort of when you have so much burden in your life that doing something impossible, like doing something small to make it better, just almost doesn't feel worth your time, just because we're trained to be efficient. And that's a line that really stuck with me, is like, we go to school, we get these jobs, we go to work to become cogs in the machine, basically, and become really efficient. Like, oh, this is like, we don't have to waste time working. We can get our groceries delivered. Or, okay, this fitness class is only 30 minutes on my lunch break. Great. I can get back to go to work and keep working. So that's another thing that the article pointed out. But yeah, let's just get into it, I guess. So I absolutely feel burnout. And it's to me, there are a couple areas in my life where I feel this. I think one of them was obviously work. So I'm very happy to share that I got a new job recently. And I honestly couldn't be more excited about it. I think it's only been a couple days since this episode, or since we've been recording it. It'll be a couple weeks by the time this comes out. But it feels like a really good fit. I feel like I'm going to be challenged and respected, I guess. And not that I wasn't respected in my old job, but I would sit on my computer and not even do the simplest thing, just because I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it doesn't feel worth it to me. It doesn't feel interesting to me. I don't want to do it anymore. And I would come home and be like super tired all the time. I would take 4-hour naps. Not joking. That does happen. It's not good. It's really bad that happens, actually. I also felt an inability to do other things too. Like, fold my laundry. I mean, no one likes folding their laundry, but right now I feel like I'm still burned out because I have 3 baskets of laundry that I haven't folded, and it's been a couple weeks. And it doesn't occur to me as something that I want to do in my day, because it'll like take time away from other things that are not really in my life goal or life path. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. So I think when I mean my life path, I'm just very driven, and I'm a very motivated person. I always want the best in all situations. And I think that mindset is what led to the burnout, because I can't be the best at everything all the time. I can't be the best podcaster. I can't be the best employee. I can't be the best girlfriend I can be, just because that would take an enormous amount of energy. So I'm learning to just sort of let things go. I think my relationship is another thing that not necessarily has caused burnout, but the idea of wanting a really perfect relationship has caused burnout. I'm like, okay, no, like, we need to talk about this. I read an article about this, that we should talk about this if we want to have a healthy relationship. And I just think about all these little things. I'm like, oh no, that wasn't good. Like, that was bad. And it's just not fun to bear all that pressure. Like, what I feel about burnout is I feel that there is so much pressure to be a good person, to be a good, like, to be good at everything, like I said, that it just, you don't know which step to take in what direction, because you don't want to make the wrong one. And I think that's a little bit of fear too. You're scared to make the wrong decision. You're scared to go down the wrong path in life, when really you don't know what path in life you're supposed to go on. So there's a lot of things in there that we could probably unpack. And
or even if there is a path that you're quote unquote supposed to go on. You
exactly.
Know?
And I think that comment, you know, having a supposed path is something that weighs on a lot of people. Like, oh, I'm supposed to go to law school. I'm supposed to be a corporate lawyer. I'm supposed to work till I'm 30 and make $250,000 a year, and then I can have fun. But why not just have fun now? I don't know.
But like, not even like that level of thing, like specifically with our generation and the generations younger than us, or I don't know what their parents are telling them, because their parents are us anyway.
Yikes.
Everyone told us that we need to go to college, like you are going to college.
Yeah.
So all, pretty much at least all of my friends went to college not knowing what they were doing, because that was the path you were supposed to get on. And then you start doing all these things you're, like you said, were supposed to do. You join a fraternity, you take X amount of credit hours, you join all of these clubs, and all of a sudden you are so overcommitted you can't move.
Yeah.
Which is what led me to a lot of my instances of burnout in the years past.
I think the same for me too, because I'm very entrepreneurial and I want to do the next greatest thing and create all these fun podcasts, but I have to realize that I'm only one person, and doing that, you know, some people can do it and some people do it very successfully. They have, or at least I think they do. Maybe they have other problems that we don't see or whatever, but having the relationship, having the business, having a full-time job, having a social life, it's just, when you put it like that in simple terms, it doesn't seem likely or healthy or even really possible, to be honest.
It's like that triangle that everyone shows you.
Yeah.
Like when you get to school, it's like a good, great social life or sleep.
Yeah.
Pick two, which I don't think is true. By my senior year, I was able to have all four of those.
That's
and
good.
I think it's a good skill to have, is figuring out that work-life balance.
Sure. Okay. That's a good point too, because you're right. Like, maybe this is possible and I'm just being pretty negative about it, but I definitely haven't figured out the balance yet. Most days I just want to like come home and lay in bed and go to bed at 8 p.m. But I can't, because I want to do other things.
But college is a horrible training ground for figuring out work-life balance, because
yeah,
your work and your life and your everything is all in one place all the time. There is no separation.
Yeah.
Like, I was able to, my senior year, I had like an office to myself. So I was able to say, okay, work stuff and sometimes school stuff happens here. When I am not here, I am not doing those things. And I think that's something that I've learned to do, is like segment my life physically in like different places. Like, I'm fun things happen here, work things happen here, other hobbies happen here. And that way I don't get jumbled up when I'm somewhere. It's like, oh, I should be doing this, even though that's not the activity that takes place in that space.
Right. And do you ever feel pressure when that voice in your head is like, oh, you should be doing this? How do you react to that?
It depends on what it is, honestly.
Okay.
Like, if it's something like, well, what do adults do? If it's something like laundry.
Pay their taxes. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Taxes is a good example, because I am actually like very proactive about that because I'm afraid of the government. So prioritizing that is very easy for me. Whereas something like laundry, mm-hmm, I am more likely to put off.
Definitely.
Also, like, to go back to like my last point, all my laundry, when I pile it up, it stays in my room where I have like my PlayStation and my bed and all that stuff. It's like, I'm not in a place where I want to be productive right now. I just want to lay down.
Yeah, same. Like, my room is messy right now. My mom's like, you need to clean it. I'm like, but mom, like, I have so many other things going on. I can't take an hour out of my day to clean, even though I should. It would make me happier if my room was clean. I don't know. Like, and I don't even know if we're describing this in the best way, but it's just sort of that feeling of needing to do something all the time and not realizing that it's okay not to do something all the time.
So I found that I am prone to overcommitment, and that is where my biggest instances of burnout are. So for me, burnout is like this. I know when I'm getting close to burnout, and sometimes in the past, I'd be like, okay, I don't think there's a way for me to avoid doing all these things. And that led me to, I think last year or last week, I talked about having like anxiety and panic attacks. And I found when I tried to push myself through burnout is when those things happened. Is that something you've ever experienced? Like, I can pinpoint the exact moment in college where I was like, oh, I need to go somewhere and get help about this, because I can't keep doing this to myself.
I think for me, it's definitely sort of an, oh shit, you went too far, you have to come back. Because for like, I'm trying to think, like, there's, when I get really burnt out or stressed or something, I'll start nitpicking everything, and no one wants like to be nitpicked on. And I'll tell my boyfriend, like, your beard is too long. Like, just like mean, petty shit like that, that I don't necessarily, I mean, yeah, I think it's true. Maybe you do need to trim up your beard, but it could be said in a nicer way, or really doesn't even matter. Like, I start sweating the really, really small stuff instead of focusing on, you know, big picture stuff. Like, okay, like, you have really fun plans this weekend, or I don't know, it's okay that you didn't do your laundry today. I just get really self-critical. Does that happen to you? Do you feel like you're a big critic of yourself?
I am. I mean, you heard me, like, what we were talking about before the podcast and what we, like, talked about, I think, yesterday afternoon. Like, I am a very harsh critic of myself.
Yeah. Do you think that's because, does that get worse with burnout, or does it happen because burnout, you think?
That's a good question. Like, I'd have to, like, think through, like, the process, like, think about what I think about when I'm getting to that point. Because I know when I'm getting to that point, it's because I think part the self-criticism gets me there, because I'm like, you're supposed to be this person when you're here, and you're not able to be that person because you have to do other things. So you're not doing it to the best of your ability. So you have to push yourself harder. And that leads me to pushing myself harder to a point of not having any more energy for anything. So I do think that the self-criticism is a factor there. I've never thought about that before, honestly.
What do you think you've overcommitted yourself to in the past?
There was one semester I was in school. I was in the most credit hours I'd ever been taking. I was also in a very stressful part of being an RA. I was also online for my fraternity. And then I was also in the athletic bands at Carolina. And all of that was happening in like a 2 or 3 month span. And it was very difficult.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And it was like, it was every day.
Yeah.
It was every day. And it was a really rough semester. And my grades were reflected there.
I feel that. I feel at these last couple months of my old job, I was really slipping. And I could tell that I was really slipping. And I think it was honestly because, like you, I feel like I'm a bit of an overcommitter. I tried to do this sales funnel class for a business that I wanted to start. And then I was thinking about, I was like, I don't even really want to start this business. I just like want to make money because I think it'd be cool to be an entrepreneur, which is not really a reason you should do anything. So I just got a little bit in deep with that. And then I got really stressed about money because I was like, well, I dropped all the money on this program. Now I have to finish it. Still kind of figuring that one out. I feel like I should maybe ask for a refund considering how little I've done. So I get that. And I wanted to start a second podcast, like two more podcasts. And I,
so I was actually, I wanted to pivot to pulling back the curtain a little bit on the 17 podcast that you want to start. and then you tell me, like, it's funny to me because you tell me, like, how tired you are and how exhausted you are. And then, like, literally an hour later, you tell me about a podcast you want to start. Or why is this podcast not happening?
Because I think I'm bad at recognizing that myself.
Like, I'm trying to help you.
I appreciate that. So, like, okay, listen, I really like the podcast we do, and it definitely, it's a really good part of my week. I won't lie about that. And it's fun meeting the people I've met when I did interviews. So that was really great. But it maybe is a bit foolish for me to continue on making podcasts, or at least something else has to go. Like, it's all about balance, I think, with burnout, because you can't, like, you can have everything, but you have to have a balance. Like, I would either have to spend less time with my boyfriend, or I think balance is really important here. So something would just have to go, and I don't know if I'm ready to give anything up in my life. So I guess that's a question y'all can ask yourself. Are you feeling burnt out? And if so, can something in your life go to help balance the scales? Think about being a Libra. That's the scales one, right?
Yes.
I got to Google it.
It is.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay, shit. I'm impressed.
I told you I'm good at trivia. I want to talk more about the podcast thing, though, because... No, I'm not, like, I'm not trying to, like, drag you here. It's just something that's interesting to me. So one thing I've learned about myself in those times where I got burnout is I need to start not doing things. Like, it's okay for me to not do things and miss out on things. Maybe miss out is, like, the bad connotation, but you know what I mean. Like, it's fine for me to not do stuff. When I was a senior, my best friend asked me to be a part of the Marching Tar Heels service committee, like be one of the heads of the service committee. And I straight up said no, because as great as it would have looked on the resume and as great as, I mean, I think I would have been good at it. I'm in a service fraternity, is what we do. I could not add one more thing to what I was already doing. And I didn't want to sacrifice what I was doing and half-ass, like, service. Like, I don't want to half-ass going to the Ronald McDonald House. That's a shitty thing to do.
You're right.
So, yeah. So, like, going back to, like, one of the podcasts that we want to do, I want to do this podcast. I really do, because it's something I love and something we're probably going to incorporate, not probably, we're definitely going to incorporate into this podcast at some point. But I'm trying to get to a point where I feel like I can do it without it being too much of a burden on myself, because I don't want to get back to that place.
Definitely. And I think I have two things to say about that. So one, I think it does take a little bit of time to adjust to something new. And I think everyone should be gracious with themselves for it.
Which is what we're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. I think... Oh my God, what are we, like, 6 or 7 or 8 episodes in?
Something like that.
Yeah, and so we're obviously, like, not perfect at this yet, but we have a lot of fun. But then there's also the fact that you can keep trying to force a square peg into a round hole or whatever, and it can become your base level. And that's something you don't want to have happen, because when your body, like, becomes accustomed to being burnt out, you're just going to think that this is how you're supposed to feel all the time. And that's not. And also, vacation doesn't fix that kind of burnout. So that's something else you got to live with.
Yeah. Don't lead yourself to panic attacks like I did.
Yeah.
Panic attacks aren't funny. I'm laughing to process my whatever. It's my processing method.
And if you need help with finding a therapist, I mean, I have an episode all about that. So that's something you can look into if you think that, oh, you know, life is really hard and you're burnt out. Because there's no real solution.
No, like, fix all. No.
Another thing we mentioned earlier is that work can be a really big drain. And I think it's, like, twofold. One, you can hate your work straight up. And two, you can always be, like, in the back of your mind searching for a better job, or, like, thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence or whatever. I don't know how that saying goes. I think that was right. That can also be damaging, just because it just, you know, you're looking for something that may or may not exist. And that can be really frustrating if you search. It's like the fucking movie The Lost City of Z, if you guys have ever seen that, which I actually loved. I love that movie. He basically tries to find this lost city in the fucking Amazon, and then he disappears and dies, basically. So you don't want that to happen to you. You don't want to, like be on Indeed.com your entire life. And yes, jobs can get better, and if you do hate your job, there is a probably better fit, but I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect job. I think there's always going to be issues around that. So Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about is actually this Twitter thread that I found that I can also link in the show notes. But the author talks about something called executive function, and it's actually common. Colby, you might know this from ADHD. But basically think of it like this. You get a stack of post-it notes to make decisions for your day. So some things are automated, like brushing your teeth, washing your face. Like those are pretty automatic for me. I've done that my whole life. I don't have to think about that. But other things that I have to think about is like remembering to get gas, remembering to pay my bills on time. And those each take a post-it note. And some people get more post-it notes than others. Some people have an unlimited amount of post-it notes. But for someone like me and you, like ADHD and anxiety, we don't have as many post-it notes, we can't make those important decisions that we need to just because there's nothing left. We're grasping as like the end of the post-it note stack because we don't have the ability to make these decisions or think about it just because that's how our brain works. So
yeah, or you get stuck staring at one fun post-it note for what you think is an hour that ends up being four. And then all of a sudden you have a bunch of post-it notes that need to be distributed and not enough hours left in the day.
Totally. Totally. And that's a great point too. And I think with burnout too, you can think you have post-it notes, but you really don't have post-it notes. So you're cutting into the next day's post-it notes and the next day's post-it notes. Or on the other hand, like Colby said, you're staring at one because you can't lift another one off the stack. And both of those are totally normal and okay. And I definitely have felt all of those things before. It's sort of like when you stay out late at a bar one night and you pay for it the next day with a hangover. That's sort of one good way to explain your stack of post-it notes.
I agree. So would you say that you use that in your life in trying to navigate being an adult without, you know, and still be able to operate day to day?
I think so. I think I would also say that I've sort of gotten used to a new level of normal. And I'm realizing that as we've been talking, actually. So I'm more patient with myself if I can't do something right away because maybe I had a really big day. Or maybe I'm an introvert. Maybe I socialize too much. We did a podcast and I'm feeling kind of emotionally drawn out. All those things could happen. And I think that's okay. Like, it's great for you to know. But I will say that a lot of other people won't understand that concept or won't get it. And that can be really frustrating, too. Like, how do you use your post-it notes throughout the day?
I'd have to think about it on the fly because that's not something that I was familiar with before. There are definitely like those automatic things that go, you know, to the places I've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
Having to redistribute some of the ones that I used last year and a half for school to bills and loans and stuff like that. It's just having to figure out, I'll put it this way, where to put those post-it notes so I'll see them, so I'll do them, so I don't fall behind on them. That's a good way to put it.
That's really good.
Because there were times in the past, metaphorically and literally, I would put a post-it note somewhere and not know what it, like, put it there and either not know what it means, like, 5 days later, or I don't remember where I put it, and then I can't find it when I need it.
Yeah, totally.
That is metaphorical and literal. Do you think your ability to say no affects how long you can go without feeling burnout?
Absolutely. I can never say no to most things. And I'm learning how. I feel like I've recently learned how to say no more. I'm not perfect at it, but I definitely have taken breaks from things just because I knew that they were wasting a lot of time. And I'm like, okay, no, not right now. I need to stop doing this for a couple days. And I've sort of been recognizing those situations more. But yeah, I think the less you can say no, the more you're going to feel burned out. I don't know. An introvert can't go to parties Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. You probably just can't. Just as an extrovert, will maybe get burned out by staying alone all the time because they might just go crazy. I don't know what that's like. I just want to be alone all the time.
Me neither. No clue. Could not tell you.
So yeah, I don't know. Do you feel like you're good at saying no?
I'm a lot better now than I was. Okay, now I hear the Southern accent. I'm a lot better now than I was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Like I no longer feel compelled to do something just for the sake of doing it to make someone happy if I know that it's just going to drain me further than I can go. One thing I used to tell my residents a lot when they were dealing with this sort of thing is when it involves other people, don't set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. Because that's not going to be sustainable for you and you'll end up resenting them and yourself.
I think that's so true because I do that a lot. And you know what? The other people either don't notice or care. So that's another thing to probably think about. That's not true. I mean, I'm sure they noticed that I like made an effort to do something, but they probably weren't aware of what it cost me to do the thing. I'm thinking about like Con of Thrones. I definitely wanted to go and I definitely had a really amazing time, but it cost me money that I maybe didn't necessarily have just to keep up with these people because of like mad FOMO. I have so much FOMO, you guys. I'm so glad there's a travel restriction so I can't go to the next thing. So what do you think can be done about burnout, or can we do anything? Can we avoid this?
I mean, so much of it is external. So much of it is external pressure to do things, which is hard to change how society tells us we should be reacting to stimuli. If I'm going to break it down to like a very scientific, socio, whatever place. But I do think like the things we've talked about today are good steps to recognizing it in yourself and finding ways to steer your way away from that place.
I mean, like, I like that in theory, but I do feel that it takes a lot of will to do that.
I don't want to just say, like, it's just one of those things you have to do. But honestly, it's
just one of those things you have to do.
Some of these things feels like you just have to do them to set yourself up for success. To set yourself up to not feel burnout. And it feels weird to say you have to do things to keep yourself from not being able to do things. I don't know. What do you think?
It's definitely like an awareness thing. You need to be aware of this. And hopefully this podcast episode will help you realize that. Or you read the BuzzFeed article and you find that too. Who knew BuzzFeed would become a legitimate place of news in 2019?
They've been putting out good stuff for a while. It depends on where you go on BuzzFeed.
I think they've really amped up their news game, though. Anyways, I think the thing with burnout is you have to have some sort of balance in your life. And whether that is you who keeps you accountable, whether that's us who keep you accountable, or your partner or your parents.
Or your friends, like me telling Martha she can't have every podcast.
Or your friends, yeah. You can't expect to get it right the first time. I think that's another thing. And you also have to realize, like, I think first is realize, okay, what does this feel like for me? Am I able to get up and do my laundry? Am I able to text my friends back? You have to sort of realize that too. And you also have to know that it could be anxiety. It could be something else. But if you are feeling this sort of like burnout side of things, it's definitely time to take a deeper look. And that might be uncomfortable. You might have to journal about it. You might have to like go down to Target and buy a Moleskine. You might have to, I don't know, put out some deep prompts and think about it.
Gross. Boo introspection.
So here's a question we can all ask ourselves, though, is when's the last time you felt really happy?
Jeez.
And I know that's like, I know, but like, it's such a morbid question. Kind of. I hope you have been happy recently, but I think what's, you need to find those points like where you were happy and work towards achieving that emotion. I think that's my solution is like, okay, I feel happy when I'm watching a movie with my boyfriend. Okay, you obviously can't be doing that all the time, but like, what are some other things that you can recreate to get that emotion back and to find that balance and to not feel so like fucking exhausted all the time? Like, no, you don't have to work out 7 days a week to, you know, conquer burnout. It can be much simpler than that.
I would say pay attention to your body. Your body knows when you're doing too much. I think it's the simplest way to put it. If you feel tired all the time, people are not supposed to feel tired all the time.
No.
Like, as much as people like joke about like their favorite thing being sleep and that all that stuff, it's, you're not supposed to feel like that. So if you are feeling like that, figure out what it is in your life that's draining your energy. And it might be something like medical or like psychologically and brain stuff, brain chemistry stuff. But I think it's worth examining because that can put you in a happier place in your life.
It could also be like friends. Friends could be draining, yeah. Finances. Sort of, if you think about a leaky bucket, you can't patch all holes at once. Patch one hole at a time and you'll see better results than trying to immediately change your lifestyle super fast. Like, you're not going to be able to start working out 7 days a week if you've worked out 0 days a week. It just doesn't work like that. Trust me, I've tried. You can't lose 50 pounds in, you know, 6 months when it took you 2 years to gain 50 pounds. Yeah, you know what? I think that's kind of all I have to say on this. I think I'm getting burned out of talking about burned out and thinking about my emotions, but I think it's important that we realize that this is something that affects us.
Yeah, I think that while we might not have a bunch of hard answers for you, I think that the processing that we did here is good first steps. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we are continuing our growing up journey, and we're going to talk about finding your path in life, even though we said tonight that there is no one path.
We're talking about our paths.
Yes, our paths to becoming multi-million dollar podcasters.
Are there any of those? I'm not sure if those exist.
Oh, they do. Who, the guy who founded the podcast host that we use, he makes seven figures off of his business.
Jeez.
Yeah, pretty wild. Anyways, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter wherever you want and find this wherever you want. And we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Find us online at www.shityouneedtoknow.com or needtoknow.show and on Twitter and Instagram at SYNTKpod.
Thank you to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
And thanks to Cern Purs for the artwork.
Big shouts to Irene, even though you don't listen to the podcast.
And don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. It can become your base level is what I'm trying to say. So,
ooh, that's good. You should. Yeah, that's why we're podcasting. That is a good one. Thanks. Snaps for that.